Okay, I think we're going to read from the third chapter of Colossians. And that would be current B on the thumb drive, verses 4 through 10. All right, here we go. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, where it says you have taken off your old self, that's not the word. In the Greek is man, anthropos. And I'm making a distinction with that. Then when it says, with his practices and have put on the new, in the Greek, there's nothing after that. In other words, it's referring back to man. Both of those should be man. And I know we've all probably heard many times of putting on the new man. But it seems a week ago it hit me. Like a bolt of lightning about putting on the new man. You know, this ship is not trimmed correctly. Billy, you know it's not trimmed correctly. Why don't some of you over there move toward the middle or move up closer? Here looks ridiculous, if you don't mind my saying so. Make the ship list to starboard. And don't forget the water baptism, too. If you haven't been baptized in water, that's important. There's three people already signed up, so we need some more. Okay, so I was thinking about this new man. It just hit me. You know, as it says, take off your old man, it should say. NIV says self, but that's not right. Greek is man, and it just gravels me when I see this humanism entering in. Put on the new man. Now, I don't know, maybe this is old to you. Maybe it's old stuff to you. But the Christian salvation is not a case of saving us as we are. And for hundreds of years, the goal has been heaven. If I can get to heaven. Well, heaven, I'll be going there pretty soon, I hope. But don't forget, that is a spirit world. And you're not going to be happy there. It's not made for people. People want to, you'll see in Revelation 5 where they say, we're going to be kings on the earth, you know. When you go back to Revelation 22, 21, see the final outwork of salvation, where are people living? On the earth. It says there'll be a new heaven. That word is, it should be sky, because in the Greek, the same word, ouranos, is used for heaven and sky. Now, God isn't going to make a new heaven. That isn't going to go anyplace. And the NIV properly translates Revelation 22:1. I saw a new sky because it will be filled with stars of many colors that are lighted by the glory of Christ, like on the first day of creation. And they will be dwelling places like the earth for people, because the kingdom of Christ is going to enlarge for eternity. And even as large as the new earth will be, and we know from the size of the new Jerusalem, it'll be very, very large, much larger than our present earth, it won't hold the people, because you see there's no death. And people will multiply, and pretty soon they'll have to migrate to a star of their choice, which will take them no time to get there because of the nature of the spirit realm. And they can choose their color and the whole thing, and there'll be patriarchs, and they'll be just like Adam and Eve, creating a new group of people. And this in Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his peace, there will be, of his kingdom and of peace, there will be no end. So this will go on and increase forever. Now, I was thinking about the new man. And see, we've had in our mind that God's going to save us pretty much as we are. And take us to, a better place. We don't care if it's all spiritual, but we will when we get there. It's not a home for man, it's a home for angels. And that's why in Genesis 1, where God created man, you won't see anything about heaven. He did not create him. If he wanted him in heaven, he'd have created him there. But earth is man's home. We'll know that after we die. Oh, if I could only go back to Escondido or wherever. And we will, but you see, that requires resurrection. And that's the purpose of resurrection. All these are new to us. The only thing that's germane for what the Spirit is saying today that's important for us to understand is that God is not saving what we are. What we are is a fallen race, and Christ on the cross said, it is finished, meaning not only the atonement, but the Adamic race. It's a race, Adamic race, human race, call it what you want. But that is not where God is going at all. It says here, put on the new man. Now, the new man will be a new man. I think one of the first verses I ever was taught by the navigators when I was in Pearl was 2 Corinthians 5:17. So let's turn to that, Lloyd. Because this verse means what it says. But the Marines at that time did not understand it. They thought when you, quote, accepted Christ, quote, you were all new. Well, that's not true, is it? How many here have accepted Christ? Probably everybody. Well, are you a new person? You're a new person in a doctrinal sense. You're a new person in the vision of God. But you're probably pretty much the same as you were before you accepted Christ. You might have stopped smoking, stopped drinking beer, stopped swearing, I don't know. But the rest of your life, all your relatives will tell you, you're the same person. You haven't changed. And they're true. That's true. People don't change like that. And that's a sign of death, if you've got to be you, because you're not destined to live forever or to go to heaven or anything. What God wants is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this is literally true. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But then we see where we just read, it says, put on the new man. So it does not happen in a moment. It does not happen in a week. It does not happen in a year. And after 70 years, I'm still working on it. That it constitutes, I would say, three factors. One is your life. your life force, which today is blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And that includes thinking, speaking, and acting, as I've said. That's one thing that when God gets through with you, will be totally new. You will not be living by blood. You will be living by the Spirit of God. That's the final act of salvation. The second thing that constitutes life, Lord, the second thing that constitutes life is, not life, but the new man. What am I talking about here? Oh, pray. You know, Brother Fullerton used to say, when I come, I've prayed through for the message. Now, you've got to pray through to hear it. That's right. You've got to pray. Remember how Jesus, because he lived by revelation, could not do miracles in his hometown? Did you ever read that? Did you ever think about it? Jesus. But you see, there's a chain between the recipients and the donor. And it's up to you to pray. I lost my train of thought. And I was talking about what constitutes a person. The first thing is life. Now, I'll think of the others as I go along. But you've got to pray because this is by revelation what God gave me. And if you don't think I'm prepared, you ask Lloyd, and he'll tell you how much preparation I put into this. Because this is really a radical thought about a new man. We've always heard it, and we've always believed it. But at the same time, we're thinking, someday I'm going to be up in heaven. It's a completely wrong goal and a completely wrong idea of what you're going to be. Now, when it says old has gone, the new has come. Now, I'm getting hit again. Lord Jesus, open up the path, Lord. You've taken me down this path, and I want to go here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The old hallelujah. 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 A new man. Oh, it's not there yet. Man, I've got to preach for 3 hours on what God has given me. And I will not accept being blocked. I'm not talking to you. Now, Lord Jesus, I want to give what you have given me. All right. There's two things we have to deal with here in Colossians 3, verses 4 through 10. First of all, sin. Now, sin is alien to us. Man was not created with sin. And Paul says it dwells in our flesh. He also said in the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, cleanse ourselves, or 7:1, I guess, 7:1 of 2 Corinthians, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, I've never thought of that before. I always thought of I would think of the flesh and soul. But the Bible says the flesh and spirit. So there are some sins in us, like pride, that are sins of the spirit. And there are sins in us of the flesh, like immorality. And Paul says, cleanse yourself from all of them. Notice he says, cleanse yourself. And this is the day for that. That's what Carol was prophesying about. This is the day to be cleansed. You've got to make it now. Because, you see, when Christ, notice what it says, when Christ, who is your life, we have to be the new man, we have to be living by the life of Christ. And part of that has to do with putting away sin. Sin is not something man was created with. It's accrued. When Cain murdered his brother, God said, sin is crouching at the door, and you must master him. And so we have to master these things, but not in our own strength. We do it as God makes us a new man, as we get a new life in us, actual spiritual life, and then on the day of resurrection in our body. That's one third of the new man. I hope before I get through, I'll think of the other two. All right. Then notice when Christ, who is your life, and this is an important thing for us to understand. There's a widespread belief in the Christian church that just about everybody is going to go to meet Christ when he comes. And that is not true. It will be a remnant, and I guess a fairly small remnant. You remember in the battle of Gideon that God took it down. They start off with something like 33,000, and they ended up with what? 300 out of 33,000 before God would give victory over the enemy. That's just one type. But you can see from here, when, and you know Christian people, how many do you believe are living by the life of Christ? Are you living by the life of Christ? You are if, as the Holy Spirit in these days points out to you, things that you're doing that are not in the image of God. And when you see those, if you're praying and gain the victory over them, Christ will give you the victory over them, you will be fed in the spirit realm, the hidden manna, that is the body and blood of Christ, and that is resurrection life. See, Christ is the resurrection. And as he grows in you, then the life of Christ, which is the life of the new man, keeps increasing in you, and you go from victory to victory. If you can get victory, let's say today you're at this time, God has spoken to you because you lie. See, when you lie, that's a sin of the flesh that's dwelling in you. Or you could think of it as a sin of the spirit, probably both. And if you have been lying and the spirit points it out to you, if you expect to be gathered to Christ when he comes, you have got to have victory over that. There's no time later when this will be done that I can see. Now it's happening at the same time. This new man thing that I'm talking to you about is happening at the same time to the saints in the spirit world. And you remember in the last, what is the last verse in Hebrews 11? Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11. What's the last verse in Hebrews 11 say? Very important. If you're going to understand what God is doing today. They without us, referring to the saints in the spirit world, cannot be made perfect without us. Now, if they're in the spirit world, they're in heaven, are they not? Or are they? Hebrews 11, Lloyd, the last verse, that they is the heroes of faith described in Hebrews 11. They were lived in caves, they did this and they did that. The heroes of faith are in heaven. They are in heaven. I'm sorry if I seem to be overstressing something, but we're facing an epical change in Christian thinking. And if you don't know how bad it's getting out there, how many here read WND? It's a right-wing electronic newspaper. Nobody? Well, don't read it. Doesn't matter. But they're telling about the new wave among some of the highly placed Christian leaders is they're calling super grace. It's like grace, only it's up to where you can't do anything wrong. And once saved, always saved. This lie. And all is, in other words, it's not moving toward holiness. It's moving toward absolute freedom. No demands on you, whatever. Along with that, there's a prophetic move that's embracing charismatic people. I told you about it before. That is really wild, but it's going someplace. Because when you come to the church, there's all kinds of spiritual manifestation. In the houses, healing houses are part of that. And there's a lady has written to me. I gave it to Lisa to look at. And this is a widely spread thing, and it sounds so much like Pentecost, but it has signs and wonders, and it's going to, you mark my words, it's going to assist the Antichrist monetary spirit. That's Revelation 13. I've preached about it. I never thought I would see it. I never thought I would see it. But it is happening, and it includes many, many people. And there's a lady who was involved in it, and she began to smell a rat, and she wrote to me, and she said, "Your teachings are clear, but what I'm in is not, there's something wrong." And I wrote back, and I told her, "What's wrong is that they're lifting up anointed people rather than Jesus. They're appointing, it's called a new, one part of it is the new apostolic reformation. It's called that, it's called Seven Mountains. Some of the most distinguished leaders, one of them preached here locally not too long ago by the name of, well, I'm not going to give names, I'm not accusing people. But anyway, someone advised me to watch it, and I watched it. It looks, the average charismatic person would swallow it hook, line, and thinker. Stinker. So they're taking people by the thousands because the churches are dead with the preaching of lawless grace and an any moment rapture. So people are looking for a spiritual. I mean, the people in these meetings go crazy. They roll on the floor. I saw one of the leaders was coming, and, you know, there's thousands of people here assembled, and she's saying, "There's angels right here." And I looked at her face, and it was not right. And another guy blew a shofar, and he said, "Now after I've blown this, you're going to have a special revelation." And then he handed the shofar to an attendant, and then he goes, "Ha, ha." That is not the way God works. But we are heading toward the greatest revival of all time, the latter rain revival, and so these are imitations that are coming in advance. So what I'm telling you in this church, this Mount Zion fellowship, is if you're going to make it, you're going to be part of a minority of people who have not confessed their sins, who have been taught false doctrine. It's, our country is full of it. I thought when I started preaching against grace 40 years ago, I'd never come to the day when they had gone beyond it. Now there's no demands whatever. Just say you're a Christian and you're a Christian. It does not matter how you behave. And we're going the opposite way. Confess your sins. Renounce them. Turn away from them. And these are the people who will be gathered with Christ. All right. I know what I'm talking about here. Now, one other thing. There's two problems that we have in the old man. Three, actually. One is our physical body. That will be changed in a flash if the other two parts are made right. One is sin, but the other is the critical one, and that's self. Now, you say, what's the difference? All right, let's say you have a burning desire. You want to become, what shall I say? What would you like to be? Brandon, what would you like to be? What?
A violinist.
I think you'd be a good one. I've noticed you've got a strong sense of rhythm. You'd be a good one. All right. I don't say you won't ever be. I'm just using that as an illustration of something that you really want. And God, and the question is, will you go to God and say, if you do not want me, to be what it is that I really desire, whether it's a ballerina or like I want it to be, work with guns and so on. Is that okay? See, is it okay? Well, I was talking to a young man this morning, and I said, the whole thing about being a Christian is doing God's will. If you're not doing God's will, you're not in line for being gathered when Christ comes, because he's not going to gather people that don't do his will. And it's the hardest decision, far harder than getting rid of sin. And that's hard enough if you've got raging lust burning in you, and you know you're going to, like when your young lady told me I'm going to go out with my boyfriend in the back seat of a car, and we're going to do things we shouldn't, but tomorrow I'll ask the Lord, and he'll forgive me. A young lady actually said that to me. That's you know, he'll forgive me. There's no problem. I don't know what I said to her. I was a principal of a Christian school at the time. She was not a student, as I remember. She was just someone that came in, friend of somebody. Yeah, this is what she said. She said, I'm going out tonight with a young man, the backseat of a car, and we're going to do things we know we shouldn't be doing. But it's all right, because tomorrow I'll tell Jesus and he'll forgive me. It reminds me of a line from a book of a charismatic author. There was a lady and a man, and they said, Lord, forgive us for this which we are about to do. Now, I've hit some of you, I can tell. Now, look, the real stuff is a new man. And the new man does not do nasty things. What the new man does is he's continually offering his body as a living sacrifice in order to prove God's will. I was taught when I was a young Christian, no one can do God's will. But that isn't what 1 John says. It says that we have to do God's will. That's a delight to do God's will. If it's not a delight to you to do God's will, you're off the track. If you're not delighted, and if you know what God's will is and you're resisting it, you're resisting the gathering when Christ comes. These people, I was glad to see the pantomime. And I really love that. That's a depiction of Joel's army. And Joel's army will march after Armageddon to clean the earth, get it ready for the thousand-year reign. But in either case, there's an army of angels and there's an army of saints. And these saints are absolutely incorruptible. They're not someone that God looks at and says, you're okay because I'm a loving God. See, that's what's pushed. It's God's love. God's love is so great, it doesn't really matter. He knows our weakness, but his love covers it. Oh boy, I tell you, that galls me, the teaching about God's love. God's love is important, and it's greater than I could ever describe. But what's being called for in this day is an army. And these armies are not looking to God for his love. They're saying, sir, what would you have me to do? All the time. No exception. Any exception. Anytime you're having a problem with God's will, you've got an idol. You've got something you're worshiping other than God. It can be a person. It can be a job. It can be a location. It can be whatever. You have one purpose in life if you're going to put on the new man. Listen, that new man, what does it say we had in Corinthians? All things have passed away. All things have passed away. I've got to be me. You'll die if you've got to be you. You've got to be a new man, and God will give you a new name. He wants a new man, Tony, not an old man worked over. Do you know the difference between something that's new and something that's refurbished? We want to refurbish the old man. I was preaching one time saying, well, God has not called us to live by, quote, Christian principles. A lot of pastors teach that Christian principles. What that, and someone spoke up from the congregation and said, that's trying to be like Christ without Christ. He hasn't called us to live by Christian principles. He has called us to die, crucify. And I'm not saying that in a churchy setting. It happens every day. How do we change from the old man, the old nature, to the new nature, to the new man with the new name? How do we do it? Every day there's a death, and every day there's a resurrection. Every day. You're called on to say no to something that you want. You're called to live in your prison that you can't stand for one more minute, and it may last another 30 years. Get used to it. It's the way God makes the new man. It is by imprisonment, by pain, by sickness, by deprivation of the things we really want. And we say, well, that doesn't sound much like a fun God. Well, God is loving beyond my ability to say. He'll take the most abject sinner and work with him. But when you're a Christian, you are looking forward to the coming of the Lord because he wants to do something with this world. I don't know. I guess it's my age, but I can see what's happening in the world, and it is not good. It's just going the wrong way. And God told me that he, because of my obedience, he will take care of me and my loved ones. Now, are you standing in the gap like that for other people and making up the hedge before the Lord? If you're not, you're wasting your time. And someday you're going to be weeping with bitter remorse because you failed your loved ones, failed yourself in the day of the Lord's visitation, which is today. So we have to deal with the sins of the flesh by confessing them. And that's relatively easy when God shows you as I said, you're lying or you're doing something nasty or whatever, drinking, smoking, abusing your body. And I keep away from tattoos. That's come to my attention lately. It says in Leviticus, and I forget, that there's chapter 16 something, no tattoos, because it's associated with the worship of the dead. No tattoos. That's what the Bible says. You do it as you wish. But God wants more than that. He wants people that are not asking what I have to give up. But what more can I do for you, Lord? How can I live more in the fire of Israel than I am today? That's how the overcomer talks. Doesn't say, oh, God, am I going to have to give up parties? Am I going to have to give up this? Am I going to have to give up that? That person right there is a loser. And I'm telling you right now that the New Testament has very little to say about losers except fire. That's all it says. You want to be a winner, you've got to make up your mind that this world is like those people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, sawn in half, you know, going from persecution to persecution, bloody footprints in the snow. Many Christians have been burned at the stake. Some have been crucified. That's the ordinary Christian life, and you're going to see it in America before too long. And I'm not just saying it. I'm telling you, for 5 years I've told this church, God is angry with America and is going to make it a third-rate nation. And I don't know how, but I can sure see, I don't know how, but I can sure see how it could be today with civil war. The left and the right are no longer nice little philosophical differences. They're people that are bloody determined to destroy the other side. So this is no time for business as usual. People out on Labor Day. God, if Christians out partying, they're going to be hearing from the Lord. He's not interested in people going out and, quote, having a good time. He wants people who are standing in the gap. before the Lord that he will not destroy it. We've got a soft, namby-pamby church with soft, namby-pamby pastors that are telling them cute and lovely things so they'll come to church and then they have a fellowship and a tea party and God knows what else, and they have no clue of the fight that's going on in the spirit world. They don't have a clue. Well, we don't want to be like that. You don't want to be like that. You've got people, every one of us makes a significant effect on people, some people, our relatives, our loved ones. The way we live, the way we talk, we're making an impact on them. And if you want to save them, boy, you've got to keep your honor bright. Keep up there. He said, there goes my comfortable life. And here I was ready to retire. Well, retire, schmire. What are you going to do? Depart from God? You're going to waste your time? Floating around looking at the scenery? Dear God in heaven, help us. We have no concept of what the Christians have experienced that have brought us to this point. But we're going to find out pretty soon. So if you're all safe and comfy, come out from under the blankets and ask God to help you be a soldier of the cross. Endure hardness. That's what the seals do. They endure hardness because they know if you take and beat on the guy long enough, then if he gets captured, he's not going to cave because he's been there before. That's the psychology of it. That's the way it works. Well, I read in the Reader's Digest about them beating on the seals until they were peeing blood. You say, well, that will kill you. No, it doesn't. It's just temporary inconvenience for a seal. But they do great things because they're used to hardness. Endure hardness, the Bible says. Endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And boy, if you're not there yet, you better get there before you leave this church. I had no intention. I got pushed off my nice little thing I had prepared. I got on a flash drive. Man, I got more stuff up here. I could preach till 6 o'clock tonight, so don't panic. I'm not going to. All right, Lloyd, let's see. What's the name of this one? The first one, the means. Does it show up there on the thumb drive? It says, for those. There you go. There you go. Leave it to Lloyd. Now, these are two means to the goal. And the goal is not residence in the spirit world. I know it's a good place. I'd love to be up there all relaxed and everything, the angels dancing around. But my heart is in what God is going to do in the earth. The only inheritance worth having is people, not angels. But see, what we just like to get out of trouble. But when you get up there, you say, boy, I wished I was back on the earth. Booth, that founded the Salvation Army, his wife, a man, saw her in a vision. She appeared to him and she said, oh, what I would give for one more day on the earth. See, we think, oh, if I could get to heaven. That's because you're tired. Go sleep and see how, and eat something. See if you feel better. Because heaven is not like you're picturing. That's why there's no description in the New Testament of what happens when a person's died. Do you ever realize that? That this doesn't tell you. It tells you about the end, the New Jerusalem, but doesn't tell you what happens when a person dies. I read a book by a lady that was describing the death experience of people. And she said the whole Bible is full of references to heaven. See, that's a... what do you call it? It's a perception. It isn't. It is not. What it talks about is the kingdom of God. And that's coming to the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh, but when I get to heaven, what? You'll have no body. And I tell you, your past will catch up with you. We think when we die, we won't have any more sin. That is where sin began. It's next to the throne of God. That's where sin began, when Satan, a covering cherub, says, I will be like the Most High. That is a symptom of self-will. I didn't get into that enough. I said, if you want something real bad, you've got to give it to God. If while you're sitting here this morning, if there's something that God wants and you're having problems, let me tell you as a friend, give it to him. If he asks for it, it's a good reason he's asking for it. It's because it's a bondage to you, and it's not going to bring you pleasure. So if God is asking for anything, give it to him before it's too late. And the Lord comes, and you don't feel any change in your body, and you ask the Lord, and he says, you disobeyed me. Dear Lord, now, our goal is fellowship with the Father. But the first means, this is a means. See, our goal is not going anywhere. It's what we become. Does that make sense to you? The goal of salvation is not where you go. It's what you are, what you become through Christ. That's the goal. Every company, every large company has goals. They have to be careful because their objectives change. Like when Smith Corona, you know, typewriters went out, word processors come in, they have to change their whole setup, quality control and everything. But the one thing they don't change is their goal. You know what that is? Bob, do you know what the goal of HP is?
Money.
Money. So no more typewriters. Now we're going to make word processors. See, that's what's happening now. We're getting a change of goal. And when you get a change of goal, everything changes back down the line in the company. Quality control, personnel, buying equipment and everything. Everything has to change because you changed your goal. Well, God has never actually changed the goal because we've had the wrong goal. We've had a mythologic goal. If I can go up there to heaven, it'll be like Disneyland all the time, 24/7. That's in the minds of people. Oh, if I can only get to heaven. But they're going to bring with them their self-will. See, it's the self-will that has to be broken. And the way God breaks it is by having you do things you don't really want to do. It isn't because he doesn't love you and he hates to hear you blatting, but he does that to break down your soul, your self-will. Because if he's going to change you into a new man, he has to change your soul. He has to make it Christ. He has to fill it with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He has to change your soul to where you love to do God's will. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. If you can't say that this morning, you need to come to the altar and tell God, I'm not going to fool around with this. You don't know when Christ is coming, neither do I. But I'll tell you, till that change is made in your life force, and it becomes the Holy Spirit, and your soul becomes that which is in tune with God and loves his will and loves everything about him. And like Paul, you count the whole world dung. Until that's true, you're trying to get there. You're a wannabe. And it's okay to be a wannabe as long as you want to be what's right. And what's right is a servant of God. I hope I scared some of you. I'm telling you the honest truth that I have heard from God in the middle of the night. Now, we were on the first means. This means is to the goal, which is fellowship with God. That's our goal. Fellowship with God, whether we're here. See, you don't have to wait to die to have fellowship with God. You have to wait to die to go to heaven, but you don't have to wait to die to have fellowship with God. You can have it today. Am I right?
Yes.
Or would you rather ignore him till you get your partying over? All right, let's read it together. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The image of God, that's what God said from the beginning, let us make man in our image. And that means your life force has to be changed, your mind has to be changed, your words have to be changed, your behavior has to be changed, and you don't have to do it by guts and by golly. You don't have to do it by pulling up your boots. You call on God and he does it. That's what grace is. When you call on God, he comes in his grace and he transforms you. You don't have to do it, but you do have to ask. Did you hear me? You have to ask. You can't go out of here. And people do that. They say, oh, Lord, if you want to change me, that's fine. I'm agreeable. But you get nowhere at 100 miles a minute. You get nowhere. You have to ask God with passion. Lord, you said that you want me to be conformed to the image of Christ, and I can't do that. You know, having a natural man trying to do Christian principles is like, it'd be like teaching a jellyfish to roller skate. You can't do it. The natural man cannot please God. As soon as he tries, it gets this fixed, that goes wrong. It has to be the grace of God coming through Jesus Christ to change you. To make you, and you've got to want it and tell God you want it so bad that God gets sick of your bellying at him and does it for you. That's right. Now the second means toward, well, what's our goal here? Fellowship with God. Not going to Disneyland in the sky. If you ever went to Disneyland, you have a rotten time with everybody around, all the kids screaming, everything, and all they want is your money anyway, and that's a lousy heaven. All right, here we go, the second one. For anyone who enters God, I don't hear you out there, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. There is talking about the Jews. They disobeyed God, and so God says, I still have a rest. I still have a place where people can dwell in the center of my being and rest from their works. And so there's a rest remains because the Jews did not enter God's rest because of disobedience and unbelief. You got it?
Yeah.
You're afraid I'm going to yell at you some more? When I'm getting blocked, I'm ready to fight, but God help me. I'm going to preach what God gave me is God lives. It helps me. Shall we stand? Now, we need some nice organ music, Lloyd, and don't be too sparing with it because it's very helpful. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. That ended last week. No more of that. If you in your heart need to come, then this is an opportunity for you to come. Otherwise, we're going to listen to Lloyd's music and then be out of here. But I sure hope, people, that you're living wire tight. I'm serious. It's good. The number that come with Christ, that are gathered to him, there'll be those from the spirit world who were made perfect with us. In other words, they're going through the same temptations there. You say, well, how could that be? There's no sin. And I told you that's where sin began. But they would have no desires. They're full of desires and probably fight with one another. You think because people die that they change? They don't change. I saw that in a lady in Fremont. And I was in bed and her spirit passed over the bed. I didn't know it. She had just died. And you know what? She was worried about her children. This lady was worried, passed over my bed in her spirit. Then I found out that she had just died and she was worried about her kids. No, going into the spirit world doesn't change you. If you're a mean, self-centered, God-hating person, that's what you're going to be. Your death is not our redeemer. People, death is not our redeemer. You've got to make a decision now. And they see the time for perfection is now. And so they're being worked on in the spirit world. So when they come with Jesus, and it won't be all of them, it'll just be like here, a remnant who love God enough to go for his best. Because those that are coming with Jesus are God's best. And they're going to put an end to Antichrist and the false prophet. And Satan himself will be thrown in the bottomless pit. And then Joel's army will march going through the earth, getting it ready for the 1,000-year reign. And you can be part of that, but not unless you really mean business with God. Amen?
Amen.
Have I made myself clear? I guess so. All right. Well, don't think I don't love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach so hard. I care that you make it. I care that you make it. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. Lord, I tell you once what we're going to do. There's people here praying at the altar. So, that's good. That's good. So you can stay and listen to the music or you're free to go. God bless you. And don't go out there with all the wild drunks on the beach, because God's liable to call you to account for it. Say, what are you doing here? When you're supposed to be serving me, I didn't tell you to come down here with the wild drunks. Are you listening to me? Are you doing what I say? Or are you just following your flesh? This is the day to do it, and tomorrow, and the TV will be full of all the people that were killed. Doesn't have to be you. Amen. Well, I'm not going to yell at you anymore. Enjoy the music, and when you're ready to go, but take Jesus with you.